And let me see if I still got it.
But you know what I think? I think because Jada is just so raw. It hurts. It's like, what can he say? You know what I'm saying? Jada gonna kill him regardless of what he say on the mic. You know what I'm saying? I think with Jada and Styles, it's like, yeah, let me just go ahead and say something, you know what I'm saying, and get out of the way for these other two niggas. You know what I'm saying? It'll be different if it was just Styles and Jada, then you'd be like, okay, yeah, them niggas going
right.
They gonna do some heat, but it's all three of them. Everybody knows Sheik ain't the rapper, but
right. That's how I know them niggas been. They've been homeboys for life. Like, that's how I know them niggas just been down for a long ass time.
Yeah.
If it just came down to like shit, hey man, we just really cause the other thing is three members, that's three ways to split the group, the money.
Yeah.
Hey man, keep it a bean with your dog. I think we just gonna roll 1-2 punch on them. You know what I'm saying? You know, you do your solo thing, you know, we'll do a feature and shit with you, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we just gonna kind of
but you know. But you know, with when it comes to the groups, the more artists you got, the more money they give you.
Oh, you can get a bigger budget.
Yeah, you get the bigger budget. That's why I remember back in the days they used to always be like, man, they don't want no solo artists. They want groups. Remember like NWA, Run DMC, even Rakim and Eric B. They were like, man, we gonna keep y'all in the group.
It used to be like more collective, and then hell, even KRS-One, it was
LL Cool J basically the first artist who went solo that got big money, and then that's when it was like, okay, yeah, now we can start doing solo stuff. But the groups was getting the big money because it was like you say, they could split the money up. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to have five different artists. We got to pay five different artists $1 million. How about we just give you $1.5 million and we pay the three artists?
But you know what, X? You know what start happening? The artists start saying, why am I splitting up this $1.5 million when I can get this $1.5 million on my own?
If you can get that whole thing. It depends on who it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, even like the Migos, right? Like, Quavo can probably get the biggest check solo out of all of them. At one point in time, but even that, he probably wouldn't get that same 1.5. Cause really, what made the Migos work is all three of them. That's kind of they solo stuff be okay. They little features be okay, but when it's time to listen, like if I ever want to play some Migos, I listen to like Migos, none of their solo shit. It just don't slap the same. So it worked both ways, but you might still be able to get that bigger. You might be able to get that bigger chunk, depending on who you is in the group. If you Omarion, you leave B2K, Justin Timberlake, and you leave, you know, the R&B game probably look different because them niggas always leave.
Because you remember, even when Outkast, right? When they kind of had their separate little thing, that Love Below album that Three Stacks did, it outsold Big Boy by a lot.
Yeah, but it was still an equal contract. They never got to do the solo contracts until like 3,000 completely said he wasn't doing it.
How did they outsell it? They was double disc.
Yeah, it was a double disc. So what happened was they did start selling it separately.
Because Three Stacks had all dropped, all the singles.
When it first dropped, it was together.
And you're right. I do remember that now.
Yep. Started selling it separately, and then that's why they were like, "Oh yeah, them boys went diamond." They were like, "Well, you know, Three Stacks the one that got away."
You're right. He did have all damn singles, but that B-Boy album, just like everything else, is like it's really more slept on just because of how dope the Love Below was. The Love Below sounded different too.
Yeah.
But if you really go back and listen to Speaker Box, man, that shit got a lot more slaps on it than it probably gets credit
for. It's a good album. It's a good album. But 3000 just outshined because he had all the singles. You know what I'm saying? That's when he just
it was different. Totally, like, that shit wasn't
totally crossed over.
Yeah, it was right. It was like, hey y'all, and she lives in my lap. This shit ain't like just traditional. That's so crazy. Yeah. We talking about this shit right now too, because I saw I never saw it before, but it was a Key and Spit Key and Peele, yeah, Key and Peele skit. And they was playing Outkast, and one nigga was Big Boy at the coffee shop and shit. And then here go Andre pulling up in that shit. That shit was funny. It was funny. I ain't gonna lie. I was like,
yeah.
I laugh out loud, crazy funny, but I was like, that shit is funny. Like, just how different those two individuals end up being.
I remember when that's what happened with Ghetto Boys, when the group, because Scarface was like, Scarface and Willie D were like, man, we writing all the rhymes for Bushwick couldn't write the rhymes. He didn't know how to write the rhymes. So they were like, man, we doing all the work. And he just performing them. This nigga getting drunk, showing up the shows, can't even perform the shows. So they were like, man, you know, Scarface already had his solo deal. He had the solo deal before he got into the Ghetto Boys. So Scarface was like, man, shoot, I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, do the Ghetto Boy thing no more, because it's basically just him and Willie D. Willie D trying to get his solo thing. So once they found out that Scarface was, he already had his solo deal, and then the money was a lot different from the group contract, because he had more money coming in because he was a writer. And people don't know that Scarface was a producer too for most of the albums.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely get his production.
Willie D was hating on that for real until, you know, Jay Prince had to tell Willie D, like, hey man, shut up.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, so I was looking it up real quick just to see, like, from that Outkast album, there was 5 singles. Your boy had 3 of them. He had Hey Ya, Roses, and the Prototype, right?
Yeah.
So Big Boy had 2, but Ghetto Music, I don't think nobody really it didn't take off. The Way You Move took off. That should have been what he came out with first. Yeah. If he would have came out with that one first, then he think people The Ghetto Music came out first.
Did it?
It came out. Yeah, it came out.
You,
yeah.
Okay, then you ain't lying, because I had no clue Ghetto Music came out before
The Way You Move, dang.
The Way You Move.
Yes. They fumbled like hell on that one then.
Yeah.
I thought for sure The Way You Move came out first, because it got way more traction so fast. Like, that song, that shit still, you know, like, I still hear that one pretty consistently outside. Today you'll still hear that one come on.
Yeah. Cause that one and Hey Y'all, they both you hear those a lot. Both of them, you'll hear Hey Y'all and that one a lot.
Man, them shits went crazy, dog. I couldn't. I was so like proud and shit, being from Georgia and shit, and you know, Big Boy from Savannah. And, like, I like Hey Y'all, but I like my music tastes a little bit of everywhere. So I was like, man, I don't know if this shit gonna work. I'm watching Dre up there with the silk hair and shit. I'm like, oh fuck, man, I don't know if this shit gonna go. That shit went crazy. I was like, oh shit, we got us one, man. Hell yeah. I definitely thought, ooh, it might be a little too risky, man. But the boys always, you know, push the art form to the furthest extent, and you know, had their success with it, bro. I wish they'd give us one more album.
I just need one.
We gonna rap about? I'm like, dog, if Jay can drop 444, y'all can drop one more Outkast album.
And I'm gonna tell you, if it drops, I think
it's good projects afterwards.
Yeah, and I think if they do, it's gonna go crazy. Matter of fact, they just need a tour. If you do an Outkast tour, it's gonna sell out within minutes.
You ain't gonna get Dre to do no tour.
Yeah, man.
You just ain't gonna get Dre to do no tour.
You might get Dre to do a festival or two, maybe 2 to 3.
I think if the bag big enough, I see Outkast is a group where you can obviously, like, it's like a Jay-Z, Eminem, one of them. You be like, look, we'll pay you
It ain't about the money with Dre. Dre don't care. They offer Dre plenty of money.
Yeah,
Dre just don't care. Like,
with long sleeve t-shirts and overalls and playing the flute, and ain't coming in 3 weeks, dog. Like,
nah, they
just vibing, dog.
They did say the one dude who could have gotten Dre to do another album was Rico, the one who passed away.
Rico, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they say he was the one dude who could have gotten Dre to do another album.
Yeah.
That's Dre was like probably the closest with him outside of, you know what I'm saying, him and Big Boy relationship. But Rico could talk to him about doing music. Like Rico actually the one who got him on a lot of those remixes.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Rico was the one doing all that. So
yeah, I'm like, what the hell is Dre doing on Walk It Out? But it worked. It worked.
He walked that thing out for real.
Bro, he dog walked that shit. He turned that shit into like, damn, nigga actually rapping on this little, you know, that was just like a little fun bubblegum, you know, little track just to have some fun and dance with and whatnot. And I was like, damn, Dre actually rapping his ass off. I guess he can't help it, dog. When he go to putting that pen to pad, it's just something different.
Oh, yeah, he on a whole nother level, man. I get into it with New York niggas all the time when I be like, Dre better than anybody that came out of New York. I don't care who y'all even mention. Like Jay, Biggie, Big L, LL, KRS-One, Big Daddy Kane, Kumo. Like who y'all want to name? Like, it's nobody y'all
greatest,
got.
The greatest pen ever is Andre 3000. That's to me is not debatable. I mean, I had this cat one time tell me it was Most Deaf, and I was like, respect. He was like, I guess I got to listen to more Andre. And I was like, oh, you already disqualified.
Yeah,
you
man.
You ain't even listening yet. Yeah. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. you disqualified right here and now. Yeah, to not even know, like, his work, then you ain't had no business even throwing your 2 cents in.
At all.
They discredit him because he don't have the solo projects that everybody else got.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
And I'm like, well, that's cool. Well, that. We talk about pen and pad. We ain't talking about albums.
I'm just talking about penmanship. Yeah. Just the penmanship, just the writer and performer. I mean, it's not just the bars too, it's the flows, the melodies. Like this is you couldn't really ask for a better like hip hop artist in every facet of the game. So you know, it is what it is. I think it's always gonna burn them that it started up then, and you know. She really ain't been back home since, to be honest with you. She swayed through here and there, but then you get like a 5-year foreign and see how shit in and out. That shit
did. It ain't New York ain't been smoke. The same.
That's
New York ain't been the same. Who came across the building.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, matter of fact, folks, so I was the other day, man, you know, I had my Outkast Spotify going on. And I heard the song Hollywood Divorce. Oh my gosh. I like actually listened to it. Oh my gosh. Three Stacks is something different, man. Oh Jackson gosh.
Wayne went insane on that joint. Like,
man.
I know we gotta talk some ball because I'm gonna say this. I was looking at who dropped the 5 Mike albums, right? And I was like, because I couldn't remember. So they did the whole list. They did a revision list later on where they went back and gave something that should have got the 5 mics in the first place. And I saw Trill OG for Bun B. And I was like, what the fuck? That album was not. I thought it was a mistake. They really did give it to him. The album not very good. It's okay. So I was like, the best Bun B solo album was 2 Trill. So I go and play 2 Trill and be like, I must be tripping. I was like, let me listen to 2 Trill. I'm like, hell no. As soon as I put 2 Trill on, I'm like, nigga, this, bruh, when Bun B and Wayne got on that damn I'm Cold, oh my Lord. Oh my God. I was like, see, this is when Wayne was in his total, just, that's when he get to thrive, when he don't really have to necessarily have so much of a subject matter, but he just kind of get to use his metaphors, similes, and just getting that wordplay back, he hard to fuck with in that particular lane. Let's talk a little ball, man. Right. Hey, D-Rod, I mean, I don't know if it matters to you, but your camera froze.
Oh, shoot. I'm going to jump out and jump back in.
Yeah, let's see.
Jump out and jump back in. Yeah.
Damn, I'm cold. Yeah, AI was saying like they think that they kind of just gave it to him because they owed him one, basically. Because they didn't give which college didn't get UGK album. What's the UGK album? Riding Dirty.
I was about to say Riding Dirty. You talking about the one with when Pimp got out?
No, they're most popular. One day you hear, babe, and then you they gave that 4.5 mics. I'm just blanking on the damn name of the album. Let me see. Let me start recording.
Talk about Super Tight.
No, not Super Tight. No, it ain't Riding Dirty. You was right, Riding Dirty. Riding Dirty. I was thinking Dirty Money. That's what I was thinking.
You were thinking Dirty Money.
Yeah, absolutely. No shit. Yeah, Riding Dirty got 4.5. And so they was like, yeah, everybody was saying, yeah, bro, they just kind of gave him this shit because they didn't give him one for Riding Dirty. And then Pimp was gone. And, you know, it was like, I'm like, we'll just go back and give Riding Dirty 5 mics and just, you know what I'm saying, make it right. You could make it right that way versus just throwing one out there. Because they did the same shit for Lil' Kim. They gave her 5 mics. And that album was good, but I was like.
What, Hardcore?
Not Hardcore. They didn't give it to Hardcore. It was her. It was like her last album. The one she had with Lighters Up. She was like,
God.
Wasn't no 5 mic album.
No, it wasn't no 5. Nah. It was a good album, but it wasn't no 5 mic album at all. If you were going to give her 5 mics, I think you had to give it for Hardcore.
I would have said Hardcore, but even Hardcore wasn't 5 mics, but come on, man.
What was that damn album called? It don't matter. That shit wasn't that good. It was decent, but it was not like no 5 mic album. The name of that shit. Oh, The Naked Truth. Yeah, that was that.
Oh God.
Yeah. I like that album. It definitely got a bunch of joints I like on it, but it's a lot of trash too. It's a lot of like filler where they just bloated the album up. I listen to Juvenile new album. That nigga Juvie got
dropped already?
Yeah, and they got 20 songs. They all like 2 minutes though. I'm like, nah, OG.
So the one song he got, what it is,
Big Booty Bitch.
No, the one he did with Swiss Beats.
I forget
the name of it. I was just listening to that song the other day, and when I heard it, man, I had hit Billy Blue in the DM. I say, boy, this sound like you all the way. Like that song sounds just like you. Like
you mad? That's what it's called.
Yeah, you mad? I'm like, boy, that. I say, dang, that nigga kind of stole everything you got. Like that nigga he just started laughing. Like, yeah, man, you know I go.
Yeah, be that way. Yeah, I was just like, nah, you in my age bracket, you should have just did your formula. You know what I'm saying? We do 3.5, 4 minute song. All these little, you know, quick trying to hit the stream, 2 minute joints, trying to hope you catch one that just keep replaying all the time.
That's all you're doing.
So I was looking up the list. Oh man, we got into this 5 mic stuff. So the only artist to have multiple 5 mic albums was Nas, A Tribe Called Quest, Ice Cube, Scarface, and Tupac. Them the only ones that have multiple.
The Diary and what?
The Fix.
He won best artist for that, best MC for that
one. I love that album, but I didn't think it got 5. That might have been one of the ones they went back and gave
Mr.
it to.
Mr. Scarface is back should have got 5. I don't know what the hell he. They got. How you gonna give Mr. Scarface is back 5? Yeah. Like, come on, man.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Barbershop Talk. It's your guy, Larry, man. We here to talk. Let's get right into it. Jeremiah Smith said that, nah, fuck with y'all.
Don't do that, bro.
Jeremiah Smith said he ain't coming to Miami. You know what's funny to me about that shit? I'm like, think y'all think we care more than we do. And if you're a Miami fan, of course you're going to be like, damn, bro, this dude's an absolute monster. We almost had him. So it's going to be a thing where you're like, fuck, man, if we could have gotten to stay at the crib or whatever, right? But, yeah, then when they ask him that question, he's like, you know, a certain school came after me very hard, da 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 da. I'm like, well, look, he's still a young man. You know, did he have to necessarily answer that question in that manner? Nah. But it is kind of funny how we catch all the blame for it as, like, the fans. Like, how the hell we catch the blame? We asked him that question. Y'all people asked him that question. And he threw Miami out there. Like, yeah, you know, after that game, they tried to get at me. But anyway, now I'll just mess with y'all boys, man. Here with me as usual, man. We got the real Phil General X in the building.
Yo, what's good? What's good? We back. I know I've been missing, man, for a little minute, but I'm back. And funny you brought that up, man, because I say, what the hell the reporter asking them a dumb question like that for in this spring football? Like, why? Like, shut up.
Because we the like, needle movers.
And then people like, oh, they didn't even mention Miami. I say, so you actually think that question was not about Miami?
Cool.
Like, I mean, it don't take no rocket scientist to comprehend that question was about Miami. So it's cool. Like you say, he's the best player in college football. Every school would love to have Jeremiah Smith.
Come on.
Don't trash talk Miami because we want him. Yeah, we want him. Yeah. If Jeremiah called today and say, Coach, I want to leave Ohio State. I want to come to Miami. Mario's going to do whatever it takes to get him to Miami. So
open arms. Yeah. Hey. And he's from Miami. Of course, they're going to feel the way. See, Columbus people wouldn't get it because ain't nobody coming from Columbus. There ain't no – y'all talk all that shit, Ohio State fan. Y'all my new favorites to fuck with right now. I'm having a lot of fun with y'all right now. Who the fuck is from Columbus that's the star at Ohio State?
Not a damn soul.
I think Ted Ginn was from Ohio. That's about as good as
Yeah. He's from Ohio, but he wasn't from Columbus. You don't have nobody from Columbus going to Ohio, yeah. Columbus, Ohio.
Y'all ain't shit without Florida, be honest with you. A great deal of them squads that when they go deep and have these good runs, yeah, they got a decent little pool of Ohio, the state in general, but a lot of that shit out of Florida too, dog. Anyways.
Yeah.
Fuck y'all all day, every day. See you in the playoffs, bitch. Go ahead, D-Rod. Say what's up to people, man.
Man, what's going on, man? How's everybody doing? So happy to be back. Talk ball. Spring has started. Yeah, but that Jeremiah, dog, I was about to be like, you know what? Y'all got it. Bro, I don't even want to talk about that, bro. Like, it was pointless, bro. That dude, whoever that reporter is, didn't even have to even bring that up. Like, why are you even talking about that? They're in the middle of spring. Talk about what they got going on. What's the keys to this year? This first thing you bring up is, hey, so the NIL offers and all that. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, that shit was Bush League. What
that was that was corny, dog.
That's a question that they should ask him, like, once he's done at Ohio State. Like, once he's completely finished and, you know, he moved on. And, you know, that's like a good sit-down interview question. You know, when you're really breaking bread, chopping it up with somebody, having a real deal conversation, not a damn press conference. You know, where, like, he gonna be limited in how he answered anyways. You know what I mean? Like, and none of us thought he was leaving Ohio State either. That's the other part. If we thought he was gonna leave, it would have been after the first year, and that probably wasn't gonna happen because they won the Natty. So after that, it's like, shit, you know, like, he done taste victory. And he see the pathway to it. So, you know, he still don't know Miami got the pathway because how bad our defense was the year before. So the offense, yeah, one of the best in the country, but the defense still sucked. So if I was him, I wouldn't leave either. Like, nah, you know, I got love for the hometown, man, but I done kind of made my roots here, and this is what it is. But, yeah, you know, it's just we them need a move, right? You know, it's going to always be that, D-Rod. It's just.
Yeah, man.
Hey, guess what? It worked. He got his moment. That reporter got his moment. We talk about it now. It hit the internet and the Bleacher Report and, you know, all over Twitter, da 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 da. But now we're going to talk some Miami ball today. Like D-Rod was saying, spring got underway, officially done with the first week. I think where we at now, this was practice 5.
So tomorrow we practice 4.
Tomorrow before
they practice Tuesday, they practice Thursday, they practice Saturday.
Okay.
Tomorrow will be practice 4. Yeah.
Be back in practice. Okay. So, you know, we're out there. The Eclipse is out. You know, getting the Eclipse. Everybody getting geek. You know, now we got the early videos, and we're getting to look at these guys. And you know, you're starting to get hear some buzz and reports. I think first I'd like to just get y'all thoughts. I honestly, even with it being in spring, what did it say, I think, to you all, like at this point, where our depth chart is in year 5? Just in general, man,
our depth chart excellent. We I know y'all used to hear me say you need about a certain amount of players for your team to be elite. You need about around 70. Scholarship limit used to be at 85. You needed around 70, 65, 70 guys on your depth chart to have an elite roster. Mario in year 5 have completed that. You know what I'm saying? We at like 70. And that's including freshmen that you can trust to put on the field.
Right.
And that's where you become a good team, when you can trust the players you put on the field.
Right.
You see last year, Keontae Scott ended up getting hurt. Miami was able to put in Fitzgerald, and it wasn't a drop-off. It wasn't a major drop-off. You see the cornerbacks, they started getting hurt. They putting in other cornerbacks. It wasn't a major drop-off.
Right.
That's when you have that depth. You know what I'm saying? And even this year, I think on the D-line, it's even more depth. You know, last year, I don't know if anybody seen the clip where Mario was talking about how he said how Ruben Bain and Hakeem Elledor was telling the players that y'all ain't going in the game. They didn't want to get out of the game. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all know I bitched about it all year. I knew they was bullying them, boy. I'm
like, yeah, they were bullying them. Like, nah, they not going out of the game. So I don't think – I know we not going to have that situation this year. It's going to be more of a, yeah, man, let take a break and let the other guy go. But, yeah, the depth, I love it. It's amazing, man, just to see where we used to be to now. Like, we barely had a star in 22. You know what I'm saying? Now we got...
Exactly.
We got depth. Like, we got 70 players we put in there, man. So I love
it. We had to roll Zion out there at left tackle. Game 1 against the Gators, against all these grown men. Got sacked, you know, what, 10 times or something that game?
100 times. Zion was like, what, 260? 260
when he got on there, I think they got his weight up, but, you know, that's too fast, and he lost.
But no, I'm talking about that game. That game, he was like 260, right?
I think he's a little north of that, but either way, he came, I think he got there like 250, 260. I think they got him up to like 3, but it's hard to hold that weight when you out there working and running. So I would guess if that game, he probably was playing at about 280-something. Either way, he's still that's too fast, too up and down, and a freshman starting at left tackle against.
Yeah, freshmen start that game. Remember, it was Zion, and it was the other little chubby dude who ended up transferring to SMU. He was playing center for us. Remember?
Maurice Smith. Was it Maurice Smith?
No.
What's his name?
Seymour.
Not Lawrence Seymour.
It wasn't Seymour. It was the little. Chubby dude, I forget his name.
His last name was Smith.
I'm fine.
He gone now. So I mean, that just go to show you, right? Like that, like how far we've come. But what would you say, D-Rob? Just like, you know, early on, we hearing a lot of buzz about, you know, keeping this freshman All-American streak going, and just some of the depth we got from where we come from, rolling Zion out the game 1.
Hey man, JJ Dunnigan. I think so. Man, look, somebody's spot about to get took, or he's about to take a whole lot of snaps. I think the he's one that obviously can't well because you know he's doing what he do. I'm hearing good things about Wingo, Samarion Wingo at wide receiver. He's doing pretty good.
Ja'Kai Clark, that's his name, Ja'Kai Clark.
Ja'Kai Clark. Oh yeah, Ja'Kai Clark.
He started too. Yeah, him.
Yeah, that's right. He wasn't too bad. Yeah, he ended up going to SMU. You're right.
Yeah.
What other true freshmen? I mean, it's quite a
few.
How do you
the freshmen? Just in the overall picture of where the depth chart just got.
Not necessarily the
freshmen we think will contribute. Just kind of what's your thoughts on coming from a Zion?
It's a total 180, bro. I ain't gonna say 360 because 360 is back to the same spot where you at. It's a complete 180. Yeah, it's a complete 180, bro. We got plenty. It's depth everywhere, man. You know, especially like a position like running back. You know, we got somebody off the street. You know, Lucius Stanley. Remember when we grabbed him off the street and he started the game? Like he was getting significant snaps. And I think he was like at Home Depot or something like that. He just finished up at Auburn. He had like a part-time job at Home Depot and they pulled him from the scrap pile. It feels so good to know. It's like, I have no worries as far as if this person go down, like, oh man, you know, who gonna step up? I'm not gonna have that worry. I mean, it was previous years where we had that worry about with the whole, even with the wide receiver room, the DBs, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously running back, you know, like we had plenty of issues that we don't have to worry about now. Like, I legitimately, off the top of my head, there's no major concern where I'm like, if one person from this group go down, it's like, oh man, boy, we in trouble. I don't even have that feeling no more.
Yes, it's year five. This was the year that, you know, Mario told us he anticipated having a championship roster. We was a year ahead because, quite honestly, we could have won it all last year. Clearly, we played for it and had an opportunity to win it. So, you know, he's even a year ahead of what his vision was. And, here we are coming into year five.
Before you finish, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think we was 2 years ahead with Cam Ward's team?
No, because that defense had too many deficiencies on the back end. Like, we couldn't win it all with that secondary. Like, that secondary back. That's why we went and bought, you know, they teased us because we went and bought a whole new secondary. But, hey, paid dividends, right? Everybody that we went out there and brought on, damn, you know, came on and contributed, except for Bro, who ended up leaving before camp even started. I mean, before the season even started. And then, hell, I think he transferred again. Oh, he transferred to Virginia.
The big tall corner.
I think his name
was. Trash. He was trash.
He went to Virginia.
I think he transferred
again. He ended up transferring again,
just one of those potential guys, right? But even still, we had to shoot, we had to have a wide spread to get a lot of talent in. That defense was just, God, it was so bad on that back end, man. And it didn't let our front guys do what they did best because Guidry was getting too cute. So,
yeah, I think for the most part, Mario talked about it, it was the character of the players that he brought in the next year. Because the year before, he brought in too many entitled players. They was too entitled of saying, okay, well, I got to get this money. I remember, I know we did a show that time, and I was telling y'all about the defensive line. The one we had got from, I think it was from Tennessee. And I was telling y'all,
Tyler
Barron. He don't even care. Like, he don't even care. He just wants to get his numbers so he can get drafted. He don't even care about the team output.
Right.
And then Mario was like, nah, I can't bring in them type of players no more. I got to bring in people who won't buy into the team.
And you know what's funny about that? He hurt himself more than anything else with that. Because the year started off, they was talking first round for Tyler. Right? But he think it's all going to just boil down to sack numbers. So then you become an undisciplined player and a liability. So now the teams in the league is going, you don't want to play within the system at all. You just want to try to chase your stats. And it ended up hurting his draft stock. He ended up falling way down to what, like the fifth round, I think. The Jets took him, I want to say, somewhere around there. Yeah, and that's a testament to the right attitude going to get you where you need to be anyways, because one of the reasons that Reuben Bain is and Mesidor are being, you know, lauded as first-round picks is not just because they're pass rush ability. It's because they could do everything. And that's what I'm sure they were trying to teach Tyler Barron. Like, yo, fam, just do what we're trying to tell you to do, and you can get to that first round. And it with six sacks. Look at Kelvin Falk. He got what, 4.5, 5 sacks and shit? He's still going first round. It's because, you know, they figure like they know, A, it may be a things going around your team where it doesn't allow you to maybe get freed up, but they still see the framework there and they can see a certain discipline that will make them want to go for you early on like that. But yeah, that's a good point.
You gotta have some type of effect to the game, man.
Hey, one way or the other, like, right?
When he started being real selfish to the team, like, I remember it was one play where they initially ran to his side and he attacked the quarterback. And I was like, well, dummy, aren't you supposed to hold the end, like the edge, so they can run back inside?
Yeah.
But he just, I'm like, yeah, so he don't care. He just, you know what I'm saying? But yeah.
You guys are right. That happens a lot. That happens a lot with a lot of guys that were fairly talented, you know, especially at defensive end, who not necessarily just our program. I'm just talking about in college football in general, where they think it's only about them sack numbers, and they don't realize that that lack of discipline is going to end up getting you pulled off the field like it did for Barron, and end up actually lowering your stock versus raising it. But yeah, you know, back to my point real quick though, is, you know, year five, I think he's definitely at where he wanted to be. I think now both sides of the ball are humming. We trust our offensive coordinator to go get us 35 points a game, you know, which is, you know, not a tremendous amount, but it is still top tier. I think I saw, shout out David Lake, I think he said like last year only 5 teams averaged 40 points. And, you know, it was one of his hot takes that he thinks Miami can average 40 points this year. And I'm like, I definitely think that's a possibility. Last year we weren't that far off the mark anyways, and getting back to that would put us in that position. And then you look at the defensive side, right? And just like X said, I don't necessarily think we're going to see a great fall off at D-line. I know we're looking at 2 first-rounders leaving, but I think we have some future first-round talent in like a Hayden Lowe, right? And to my understanding, he is a do-it-all defensive end. He's already got the body tight, and, you know, he's able to set the edge and pass rush. Like I said, we're going to see more rotation.
About Lewis, too.
Right.
Lewis, they was talking about he could, like, if he would have went into the draft this year, they were talking about he could be a day second round.
Come on, Wilson.
Wilson. They were talking about he could be like a second round. And
exactly. And so, why did he come back? I think he came back to work with Jason Taylor.
Learn how to set up.
Yeah, go ahead and get that boost. Like, he saw what just happened for these boys. He's like, shit, man, let me go on and fine-tune my game. I see, you know, people, I am one, right? Like, I always say development is overrated. And I still agree it's overrated. Because we still got to have the skill set, right? The tools. So I got joked on the account. I said, oh, how Chris Henry Jr. going to develop? He don't got Brian Hartline no more. You know, do great coaches get the best out of the best? Absolutely. But you still got to be somebody to begin with, dog. You know, y'all act like it can take me and make me an all-pro D tackle. Like, dog, it don't work that way. You still got to have the basics and the tools.
I think Kevin Beard might be the only coach I know to get the best out of you when you ain't the best.
And that, to me, is another level, right? Yeah.
When
you got a coach, that's when I give coaches a lot more credit. When you get a guy that especially could do it at the college level and then next thing, you know, like, damn, such ain't in the league? And because we watching him go crazy. How can he not be in the league? Well, hey, that coach figured out and that scheme figured out how to make bro shine. But, you know, now we're at a point where we've got the guys where I think we are legitimately too deep, and it's not all freshman related. They are good freshmen who will contribute, but it's not, oh man, we got to play this guy. even Cantwell. I don't think we got to play Cantwell. I think he's talented enough, and they're going to try to coach him up to be the starting left tackle. If he's capable, if he's actually capable. Early return, sound like he's, you know, he getting to it. They say he was having not Mesedone Bain no more, which I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's my father. You know, he fresh out of high school. So that give you a taste of what's coming for you. But
I got the phone call on that one. That man says, man, I'm glad I ain't got a block four three no more, man.
Man, I know that hell on a young fella, boy. Hey, the man just left the prom. He out here blocking two first rounders. Shit. But yeah, I know you mentioned Dunnigan as a name that's standing out for sure. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of buzz on him, man.
I would tell the people about that when they was doing, when they were just working out, when the team was just doing their own workouts and their own 707s. And I kept telling people, I said, man, listen, that kid, this is what the player's saying. They like, man, this guy ain't not a freshman. Like, his body frame, his speed, you know, his IQ of the game. And then it was even said, like, I'm hearing talks about people saying he might be one of the fastest on the team. And I'm like,
on the team, right. Yeah.
I'm like, man, listen, don't say that, man, because y'all gonna have me
freaky,
going crazy about this dude, man. Like, I'm trying to keep it.
The players are saying that. I heard I think Poison might have said that, and I think I saw somebody else say that too. What you about to say, D-Rob?
Yeah, and it's strange to me, right? So a player of his caliber, right? High four-star kid from, I guess maybe because he's from Kansas or whatever the case may be. Like, I was looking at his offer list, and I'm like, Miami, which obviously he went to this, he made a visit. Kansas, he visited June 6th. Colorado, he visited them October 31st. Then he have Arizona State, Florida, Georgia Tech, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas State, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma State, Ole Miss, Oregon, Stanford, Tennessee, Utah, Wisconsin, Colorado State, and Tulsa. Like, how did, like, Ohio State, you know, like, all these other teams sleep on this kid? Like, I don't get it, because when I heard we were after him at first, I was like, JJ, who is that? Until when I seen the tape, I was like, oh, that's who that is. And then, like, him coming in, his body type, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like he already been in the strength and conditioning, you know, program already. You know what I'm saying? He came kind of like how Hayden Lowe was. Boys came in there, they already, you know what I'm saying? They already muscled up. Yeah. So, I mean,
to your point, to answer your question, how that happened, I think one of the reasons why we're doing so well now as our roster builds is there's a bigger emphasis on evaluation with Miami than I think some other programs are running, especially the senior film, right? So, probably with him, it's Kansas. That's really all it really was. Like, people were just going, yeah, he can't be that good. His competition wasn't that good. But you still got to look at just who he is genetically. The same thing for Cantwell. I mean, he out there playing in Missouri and some little town in Missouri, you know. But he still managed. The reason they'll go with him, though, is that's just freak of nature, right? You ain't going to find but that many 6'7", 300 pounds, right? But and that's credit to this staff, again, for doing these evaluations and, you know, hitting on the, you know, because like I say, he's a high four. I kind of with you. Like, I don't see why the list wasn't, you know, USC, Ohio State.
You're not finding too many 6'2", 185, 190 safeties. That's 4'4", 4'3" speed.
That's four, like, right. I'm about to say, you find a lot of 6'2", 200, but now they 4'4", what's the instinct?
But you know what it's they difference. Look. There's a difference. When you looking at him, you looking like, okay, yeah, he look like a safety. And then the big 6'2 safeties, mostly now, they be like 215, 220. You could look at them and they be like, okay, well, they might translate into a linebacker once they get in college. You know what I'm saying? But you looking at him and saying, he's a safety. He look like a safety. It ain't
already, yeah.
It ain't no...
I think it's, again, I just think these guys miss. I think a lot of these programs just depend on these scouting services to do all the work for them.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these programs just waiting on somebody to tell them who the hottest is, and then they just go after it.
Yeah.
I think we've done a great job.
Watching the movie. Is it Blindside?
I've never seen it, but.
Oh, when the dude was like, he was like, yeah, Nick Saban just got on the phone with him, told him to send a list of the top 50 players. I was like, yeah, that's how like something Nick Saban do. Like, only right. Send me the top 50.
Yeah. And then go get them, right? And let everybody do the work for you. And that probably gonna hit. But if that's not gonna be your total strategy, it has to be a good blend. That's why I think Miami's doing a good blend of evaluations and NIL spending, right? So it's the balance thereof. Like, look, we'll go and get, like, you know, we'll talk about a little bit later, but like, oh, let's just even say like a Frederick Saintius, right? His stock start to rise a little bit more towards the end of his recruitment, but this is the guy that they feel like they might have found a diamond in the rough with. Nagel, you know what I mean? From up north out of what is it, Pittsburgh area, I want to say. I believe he's – I know he's committed to Pitt. But I know he's up from the Pennsylvania area. I can't remember exactly if he's from Pittsburgh area or not. Again, body type there, and they already saying he's done put on good weight already. They already think they found one. You know, they're hitting on these evals, not just waiting on everybody to say, oh, this is that guy. Because if Ohio State offers Nagel, then his profile goes higher, and then somebody else won't offer it, and somebody else won't offer it, and somebody, you know what I mean? And people still do that in Miami, I think, too, to this day. Like, once we offered, then, oh, shit, Miami offer, just throw them an offer. They don't even, even looking. They don't even know who the kid is. They just throw them an offer. Miami offer. You know, I think we're definitely getting to that point where that offer actually rings more bells to a lot of other programs, too. But, yeah, shout out to just what they've done in this roster building. The freshman, like I said, Dunnigan, and then Wingo, the other name. We saw a little highlight, Wingo making a crazy catch. You know, I think – and then, like I said, Cantwell, those will probably be the three guys I think had the biggest chance to actually maybe be that freshman All-American. But just up and down, you're just hearing, like, even Dontavius Wyman, you're hearing buzz about him being a guy. You know, not again, and that's roster building. Not this year, per se. Dontavius ain't somebody we'll be leaning on this year at all, but they can already see we hit again. Like our
Coleman.
I definitely want to say, yeah, Darion Coleman. He's still too light in the ass, right? We know that. We ain't looking to him to be the quarterback right now. Now he come in, he learned the speed of the game, he learned that he's not going to hit some of the windows he was hitting before, but then you see, you know, some of the zip with the ball, right? And you know, even just like his young leadership skills already, they starting to show already. So yeah, they need to get in there and tinker with the mechanics. I heard you say X. Getting another BB coach. Let's get a quarterback coach.
I
actually like that idea. I know you do, D-Rod.
Yeah.
You've been screaming quarterback coach for at least a year.
Man, yeah, man. Been screaming that quarterback coach, man.
I'm with that at this point.
I mean, Will Harris could coach the whole DB room, and then you got Terry's still there because Jefferson's still there, right. So he can help out with that. I mean, I'm just keeping it a buck. We don't have a quarterback coach. It's hard to look at the quarterbacks while they're just going through the motion, and then you expect to keep recruiting high school quarterbacks, but now you don't have no quarterback coach to actually train them. You know, look, Dawson ain't doing it. You know what I'm saying? Dawson is he want him a complete already guy, you know what I'm saying? So you got Coleman, you got Luke, you needed a quarterback coach to train those guys. And then you're trying to bring in more high school quarterbacks. You're like,
It's always gonna be a numbers game. You're gonna bring a quarterback every cycle, right? Everybody bring a quarterback every cycle. Well, I do think it'd be nice to get one in our own choosing that you went out, recruited, signed, and was able to get him to be a starter as opposed to, thank God for Darian Mensah. But, man, we had to do that in the 13th hour, you know what I mean? Like, holy shit, we got to pull some strings, get sued, you know what I'm saying? Well, not sued,
but the money, the money factor, like, man, that's I don't know the exact numbers, but that's money we could have kept and got somebody else. You know, so we could have went and got some other players, you know? Right. That's about 3-4 players right there.
It's easier to get that number down a little bit when they're already loyal to the soil. You know what I'm saying? They already with you. It's a little easier to bring that number down a few, you know, if they're already in there with you. So, but yeah, I just think the spring so far, you know, just looking at these young guys who can come right in and contribute. And then, you know, you also got and I think we're doing another testament to this roster is how healthy we are. Generally speaking, right? There's not a lot of absences at this point.
Yeah, man. Mario spoke about that too. You know, we finally put up money to get the proper training equipment for those guys to recuperate, to regenerate. Right. And I'm telling you, and that's just now without the football facility. We don't even got that yet. So just imagine once that comes into the fold, it's
right next step.
Yeah,
I think, you know what I'm saying? I think the only person of note that I think, or two guys, I think.
Josh Moore.
He's out right now, Moore?
Yeah, Moore is out right now.
Okanlola, yeah. Correct?
Yeah, Sampson is out too.
And Moore, which is no surprise.
Yeah, Moore, and I want him to sit out. I want him to sit out. We don't need Moore. We don't need Moore for the first week of the game.
Just get all the way back healthy. You know, he played injured down the stretch, you know, to try to get us in the situation. That comes as no surprise. And of these injuries, you know,
they're not significant.
Everything I've heard, you're not talking about it's something major. Up.
They could come back, you know, here and there. But
proven vets that you just want to let them take their time. I mean, Moore is a young guy still. But even in that, he's shown some trust. Like, that's the other thing they've done well is they've recruited freshmen that they can actually trust. He's playing game one against Notre Dame. Like, you don't just put a freshman out there. You know, we know who Malachi is, right? He clearly, you know, mentally leaves above his age. But they've hit on guys that they go, all right, if something go bad, like you were saying earlier, X, we're not afraid. These guys can come in and we're not, you know, thinking, oh boy, don't let them expose this guy or expose that guy. And it's just showing up all over the field. And then, you know, the other kind of spring, you know, observation is just eyeball tests. And it just, it, the testimony to what he's done, what Mario's done as well is like, now the standard is new. Like, now this is what it's supposed to look like versus, oh, man, we look different. Now we don't look different no more. Now we look like how the hell we supposed to look.
We look like something. Man, Mario and the staff did an excellent job. Listen, I got to give them the best credit. They did an excellent job with roster retention. We lost some players that we, you know, we can cry about that we wanted to stay. But if you look at it, none of them really contributed. You know what I'm saying? Much. You know what I'm saying? So it's like all the players that contributed, we kept. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't no heavy hitters gone.
You keep Shamar Brown when you know Shamar Brown could have left and went to another school and probably be running back one. You keep those guys, you keep Pancake. Which school's been coming at the Pancake since he got to Miami. You know what I'm saying? You keep McCoy, you keep Armando Blunt. You know how many schools been coming after him? Telling him, man, you know, you could have been doing the same thing Bane did. You know, you ain't have to wait. Like, how many schools coming after Damari Brown and some of the DBs? Like,
but
man, they did an excellent job with retention.
Right, and that's that Saban school. You know, that's him coming off, shaking off that saving tree. Because, you know, we talk about retention, and I know the NIL made things that much harder. But all them great teams, bro, were loaded. And you just waited. And if you were smart enough, you would realize the beauty in waiting. Because, like, bro, I don't have to give my body to hell for 3 years straight. I could play a little bit more, then I could start. And then go get my money versus having to be out there, you know, fighting for your life. Like when we brought in the number one class and all them boys was out there and they ain't had nothing for my dogs except muscle milk and an ice bath. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, man. Yeah. That was rough. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. And that's who we had to go and roll out there. You know, we didn't have the option of things. And then you couldn't then backfill that roster the way it needed to be. So that one class, yeah, they got to get a little bit older and develop, but you couldn't suffer an injury because you didn't backfill their positions at all. Now we got to a point where, all right, this guy goes, we still got it. And he figured something out working around saving to teach these top-notch players to hang around, to be a part of something big. Again, shout out to Coach, man. I think, you know, put the respect on his name. It's time to just put him up there in that list with all the other top elite coaches out there in the league. And just put some respect on his name, bro. Simple and plain. Put some respect on his name. I think that's about it for spring right now.
That's it. That's about it. You know, got some names that's standing out. You know, that's just 3 days, so you don't really want to jump and be too excited about that. The one thing I'm getting to is the competition, the competitiveness, man. They going at it. Mario and what's his name? Josh Pate. They spoke about this. Pate. He was like, yeah, man. Yep. He like, man, you would think you take it light. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to get these injuries. But he said, man, Mario, you're not taking it light. He like, man, they going at it. Like, it's no tomorrow. I think that mentality is just what Mario wants. And that's where we at. Like, it's no tomorrow. Every day is a new day, but it's no tomorrow. Don't be trying to hold out for tomorrow, because guess what? You might not get the opportunity.
May not get there. Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's something to be said about trying to preserve your body and whatnot, but the game is played tough and physical and hard. And, you know, that's what got Miami to championship football. When it sounds kind of cliche, but when the practice is harder than the game, that's how you get there, because you done been through the rough spot going through training against Bane. When Bane, they're going up against Miley Noah. Like, when you're doing that, and like, whoo, boy, that was an ass for another day. And then you go out there and play, and it's like, oh, shit. He ain't no Francis, bro. Yeah, all right. But we saw how Bane did. All of these top tackles, they talked about that all day. Man, go watch all the film. All these top guys run the random out to the ones who kept quiet. Got the ass whooped from Notre Dame to Texas A&M to Ohio State. Sound ass whoopings all up and down the field, because they're not as good. They're not as good as what these guys are facing. So, yeah, that's the testimony, again, to just practicing hard and going out there. The game ain't soft. And I always thought that was a dumb idea anyway, because you're going to be in for a world of shock if you go out there playing lackadaisical, soft, and, you know, we just going through the motions. Somebody knock your damn block off. What the hell is that? That's football, son.
Yeah.
That's football, baby. But real quick, man, before we get out of here, couple of commitments. Speaking on continuing to build, we added two more commitments off of the spring training. See, they watching these training. And these boys, these recruits is like, it made me go start looking at other people's boys and just see like what some of them were talking about. And I don't see a lot of the same language. But one, you know, the things that come up a lot, these kids like it. Intensity and aggression of how Miami is running their practices versus, I guess, some of what they seen, you know, elsewhere. Like the little homie that went, you know, he went mini viral because he was saying Florida State practice. He got a little bit, but he also did kind of say, man. But, you know, it was a little both. I give him
the reporter worded it the way. The reporter chose to write it, right. And I understood. I understood why he did that. And I also understood why now the family comes back and say, oh, yeah, he didn't say that. But I'm like, obviously, it was something said to that caliber, because the reporter would not say anything like that.
Right.
That's just completely making something up. Now, if he heard something and he said, well, let me just write it how I interpret it.
I heard the audio of what he said.
Listen,
it wasn't fall. What you got, D-Rob?
Yeah, fall. That listen, I'm gonna tell you, like, we can read between the lines. I think it's exactly what he said. Probably not in those words, but he definitely said it. It wasn't impressive. Like, it was like, eh. Yeah, like, it wasn't nothing for them to be excited about. So that's why, like, and then you got all FSU fans in an uproar. Oh, gosh, we doing this over spring. Yes, you doing this over spring. Like, what else are we supposed to be like? Come on, man. Right, yeah. Your coach seat is scorching hot. His seat is hotter than anybody else in college football right now.
Players have players on his team say that. So.
Yeah.
So for that to get out, you probably want that to get out because you want somebody on staff to be like, okay, or something, somebody to it's trigger something for them to be like, you know, we got to tighten up. Because I'm be honest with you, I don't think Mike even make it through the season, bro. I don't think he make it through the season.
I doubt it. I've been saying that though. I think he was dead really last year. They just trying to save a little bit of money. That's all it is. So they just gonna run him through. The rest of the season, but yeah, you know, poverty, and that's how it is down there, man.
In the project,
GoFundMe. I don't care. Suffer, damn it. Like, hey, the twin boys take all your money and then cry about
NIL. What? It was upset. I'm gonna tell you what's hilarious. They've been posting that one run play that running back did. I'm like, bro, y'all bragging on it? Like,
that's looking like a lot of bad football, dog.
That's a horrible play. Like, your O-line didn't block. For two, what your defense doing? Like, right. Y'all was ready there? Okay, so yeah.
I'm like, y'all can hype that bullshit all you want to. But,
we know why they're not. We know why they don't have a spring game. We know why they're not gonna have one.
One more year about that. And that's let's not play with our food, man. Don't be eating shit out of these people again.
Yeah, let's just
beat the hell out of them. But I ain't like that score.
Listen. I tell you what. This year, I think Mario is pulling no punches. I think he is just running up on every.
I don't think our schedule we gonna need to kind of bolster. Yeah, I whooping ass. Yeah, I agree with you. I think we need to be ass top to bottom.
Hey, week one versus Stanford. Ooh wee, yeah, boy.
Let's get them in, man. But real quick, let's get to these.
Yeah, we got two local guys.
Yeah, two guys out of state.
Josh Johnson. I like him. He's one of those Matthews. Well, no, Matt is Matt Waters. Matt Waters, I know if you guys remember Matt Waters, who played on the championship team.
Yeah, he's around. Oh, yeah.
Not the most talented guy, but one of those players who's going to give you 300%. He's going to go out there and do whatever it takes to make a play.
Good motor.
Yeah, he was around other great players where it made him step his game up. You know what I'm saying? Because he was like, I don't want to just be the liability. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to play with these guys. I know I'm not as talented as them, but I want to be able to make plays with them because I'm on the team. So I think Josh Johnson is going to be one of those characters, one of those guys to come and, you know, he's going to shock you. You know, he's going to work hard, probably not going to be on the field year one, year two, year three. Right. You're going to see him start to get, like you just said, play a little bit. Next year, play some more.
A little bit more, right.
Next year, I give me some starting time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
be in that rotation. Yeah, I mean, I like him in it. You know, another thing, you don't find human beings that big everywhere, right? So this is a, you know, large frame kid, too.
Yeah.
6'5". I think he's already at 260 or so. So
270.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's hard to find, man. You got to get them in the fold.
I want to know what they feed him down there in Key West. I got to go visit him, man. Y'all feeding good down there.
Yeah, big fella. So, yeah, I mean, these are the type of building blocks you need, right? And then to go back to the previous point, you building the culture where they ready to come in, sit down, stick around because they see y'all doing something special. So they get their weight up, they get their IQ up, and then they wait their turn to be a part of it. And, you know, we know the most expensive or maybe second most expensive position to go out there and try to get out that portal is defensive tackle. So you rather have them homegrown if at all possible. So, yeah, I think great addition, you know, and it kind of feels like a lot of what Mario's formula has been. Getting kind of the bottom half of the class in, and getting these guys pretty locked up, and then really, you know, turning up the heat a little bit more on some of your, you know, guys that you got to fight at a different different level for. Not to say they will ever quit recruiting their guys. They're too smart for that. Thank you, USC, for stopping recruiting Hayden Lowe. Good God, that's dumb. But, yeah, so the one more in the boat, and then nickel, I'm assuming. Yeah, nickel corner.
Oh, you're talking about as well. Yeah, he's a dog. Oh my God, he's one of those. Yeah,
Sherrod Gourdin.
Yeah, Sherrod is one of those. You want him on your team. You want him on your team. He has a Keontae Scott heart. Like,
right.
I think the mentality.
I think he'll be that Pons that people kind of talk about in the sense that he's not a huge, huge guy. I mean, I think they got him at 5'11", 5'10".
Yeah, yeah.
Those question marks that'd be like, how did this guy get out?
Listen, I think Mario have, you know, he's starting to bring in maniacs on the team. This guy, when he's on the field, he's crazy. He wants to hit. He wants to hit. I'm like, okay, well, yeah. So I think Mario's in the defensive staff starting to say, hey, man, let's get some crazy people who just want to destroy you. You know, they smart. They got high IQ. They talented, but they want to kill you. You know what I'm saying? When he brought in Jacoby Thomas and Keontae Scott,
man,
watching those two play, I was like, man, those two are crazy. Like, Yeah, they kind of some maniacs out there, especially Jacoby Thomas.
Yeah.
He was just wild, you know what I'm saying? But he was wild good with it. So
in the right way, in the energy.
He's bringing those type of players. He's bringing those type of – Sherrod is good, man. One of those, like you say, you don't want him to leave because if he goes wherever he goes, he's going to be a good player.
Right. In 3 years, so they're going to be saying how he get out the back.
Yeah, how he get out, you know what I'm saying? So just you take him. Because you know he's going to be something on your team. So
right. So you try to get him now, let him develop into who you believe he really and truly will be. I think with his best friend, Jalen Jones, I think I read that.
Yeah, yeah,
Real tight. So, you know, and the other thing about this class so far, it's all Florida. You know, I know that's something that the fan base, you know, we like to run our mouth about a lot. You know, keep the best in Florida and Florida. And, you know, again, you're never going to capture every single one. So I'm going to go and take their path. But I thought that was cool and fun to see, too, as of right now. I think we're maybe 7 or 8 deep on the class, if I'm not mistaken. And everybody is Floridian. So just starting it back up, rebuilding, and a lot of buzz with a lot of top-notch guys out there. We'll get more into like the details of some of the names and temperature checks and stuff when we get back with you guys with some of these players. This right now, it's so early. Got a lot of guys getting out there, getting those early visits. But we'll say this: Miami on the right track, and they're making a lot of good headway with a lot of great players. So
quarterback, we'll see what they can do. Hey, so I don't know if you've been paying attention, but the quarterback situation, like. They Will Mitchell, obviously I think he's the top guy, but the kid Israel Abrams, I guess he's kind of moved up the board.
I think Israel Abrams is gonna be the guy. Don't leave out David Davidson too. He's a local kid from Broward. Those two I think most likely gonna be the take. The Will kid, I just don't think Miami's going to go for it because I do know they want a pretty good NIL opportunity. And Miami would give it, but I just don't think Miami's going to do it for a quarterback, like as much as they would do it for every other position.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's so hard because if you do that, they got to start.
Yeah, they got to start. You know what I'm saying? You're paying a quarterback $1-3 million. As a freshman, they got to play right away. You know what I'm saying? That's just dumb to not let them play. So, and then the good news we had got also was Neiman is going to stick with the 28 class, which now clears up 27 class. Because if Neiman would have reclassified, then that's when you'd have had a whole bunch of, oh man, who we gonna pick? You
know what I'm saying? It's but harder to make that decision. Right, and correct.
He's sticking with the 28 class. He'll commit in the summer. And then Davidson was gonna commit in the summer. So now you saying, well, now we got a clear case of who we want for the 27, which is I think they want the Israel kid. He's like that.
Who you want? Yeah, I know he's visiting like right now, I believe, or will be in the next couple of days. Who you was looking at, D-Rock?
If Lawrence would have reclassed, obviously he would have been my number one. But now after doing like a little research and watching the OT7 and all that and doing that, Abrams is he's number one guy for me. He beat Will Mitzel's team, and he would, man, that boy put on the show with his running ability and everything else. So I got him number one. Mitzel, I got him like at three. I mean, I got the Davidson kid at two, so yeah, we'll see how it shakes out, man. They all about to commit. All these QB dominoes about to drop soon because it's not gonna go into the summer.
They all committing around the same time. That's the crazy funny thing. All of them committing around the same time. I guess they try to say, okay, well, whoever commits first, and so we can do this, and so we can do that.
Yeah, right.
And I'm gonna tell you one thing: these colleges ain't stupid. They saying, listen, okay, they'll find out such and such when they commit to Miami. Okay, well, you come on, commit over here. You know what I'm saying? And then you come on, commit over here. Because quarterback is the one position where you try to get it out of the way. You know what I'm saying?
Because you ain't going to get but one, typically.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You try to get that one out of the way so you can focus on the rest of the class.
Right.
And this is why I keep telling people, like, when we get Abram, then this is when you have an opportunity to get the number one class, recruit class, because you got to get a top quarterback. The quarterback can't be a low four star. It got to be a top quarterback, because when you get the top quarterback, the numbers go up. You know what I'm saying? Right. And then you're going to mess around and get the top offensive lineman. You're getting the top receiver. You're getting the top linebacker. You're starting to get top. That's when you say, oh, we can have a top class. Like, so.
For sure. All right. Well, we're going to see, man. Yeah, class 27 QB coming soon. I can't wait to see what it's going to be. We're going to get up out of here, man. We appreciate y'all pulling up. We'll be back with you soon. Peace.
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 We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.